episode 73 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded March 16th, 2016. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Gentlemen, how goes it?
Good.
Really good.
Yeah. Trump's going to be our president, so that's great.
Have we settled into this?
I'm just gonna get on board. I'm just going to lie back and take it.
Yeah, just resign yourself.
Yeah, lie back and enjoy it.
Here
yeah.
it comes. The it, Trump.
There are certain parts of it, like, what was the other? I was watching him say something, and he was just like, he was really, really funny. Like, when he talked about his... he's at his golf tournament and they're playing bad commercials. He's like, oh, wait, don't look over there. Look at the greens. There's the greens. I thought that was really funny because he's like, you're playing all these commercials on me and I'm at my club and I'm trying to talk to Adam Scott who won the club. And he's like, you know, and these commercials keep coming on with me on them and they're attacking me, yet I'm at my club. I thought that was really funny.
But I'm looking over at Randy as you say that, and Randy's just like, I'm not even going to laugh at that.
Trump's funny like a guy who takes his dick out of the party.
Yeah, sticks in the mashed potatoes.
Oh, is that not funny?
Look, Grant, I told you then, I'll tell you now. It wasn't funny.
Hey, I'm going to keep trying it. I'm going to win you over. All that said, we're not here to talk politics.
No.
That's for our guys. Bonus exclusives on patreon.com/TV Dudes.
Exactly.
Give us some money. You guys can hear us really go on about
all
it.
All Trump dick and mashed potato jokes.
That's all we have. But we did. We went on for a long time this week on that. But this week we are talking about a couple new shows. We're talking about Underground
WGN, yes.
And we're going to talk about Flaked, which is a new show that popped up on Netflix, as well as our favorite,
Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we get into all of that, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Greg.
And we have no iTunes shout-outs this week.
That's okay. Aww.
What are iTunes shout-outs, you say?
It's spring break. That's what I was
doing. Do you know what iTunes shout-outs
are? iTunes shout-outs is that you go to iTunes, and you're looking up... Let's see, I'm looking up TV podcast. I do a search TV podcast. TV News comes up. Wow, this is great.
Yeah, it does.
I download it. I listen to it. These guys are brilliant. They're smart. And they're good-looking. So I'm going to...
It's a video podcast.
Yeah. Well, they just...
a lot of people
don't
know
good-looking.
They sound like really good-looking guys. They do YouTube searches. See all
I've
our videos.
I've been told I have a face for radio.
Yeah, there you go. But then either way...
I think I told you that.
But you're so happy to hear this that you say, you know what? I'm going to go to iTunes. And I'm going to type in a loving description of the show and encourage every person that I know to listen to the show. And I'm going to give it 5 stars. I'd give it 6, but it's only 5 stars. And I would say all of that in a really nice, clever, funny way on iTunes. That would be a nice shout out.
That's what I would do too. That's a good idea.
People should do that.
Yes. I would do the description equivalent of pulling my dick out at a party, probably. But I'd still give you 5 stars.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
We'll take it.
You guys can write whatever. Yeah, go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, write a review. It really does help out the show. Tell your friends to do it, tell your parents to do it, tell all your Trump supporting friends to do it.
You know what? Yeah, this is a bipartisan TV podcast. We take Cruz supporters. We take Trump supporters, we take Bernie, we take Hillary, we take every communist.
We don't take Rubio because there are none.
Oh.
on the political dudes, we have opinions. But here on the TV dudes,
we don't.
Vote for whoever you want. As long as you like Better Call Saul, we're cool.
Yeah, and there you go.
The only people we don't take are people like girls. That's it.
Greg does not speak for the entirety of the TV dudes.
News.
Yeah, that should be like, you know, like those political ads. This page was played before by Donald Trump and his campaign.
We cannot be both called the TV dudes and our slogan is we don't like girls.
I know.
The He-Man Women Hater Club.
No, not at all. It's to show girls.
Yeah, the show, by the way, we mean that.
The show on HBO called Girls.
Long disclaimer. The next asterisk is like, but Broad City's great.
Yeah.
And then
we like other female shows. All right, moving on. I already mentioned this earlier, but patreon.com/TV Dudes, that is another way to help support the site. You can go there and you can kick us a dollar or two an episode, whatever you really feel like. And in exchange, bonus exclusive content,
what?
You get political dudes, which is currently what we're doing. When we get a little tired of the election process, it might happen. Mm-hmm. We can move on to doing a little movie reviews or whatever
we'll
else we want to discuss.
Yep.
Maybe whatever the patrons want. Yeah. But we are having a lot of fun with that, and I hope you guys enjoy it. We got a couple donators.
Yeah.
Last week we got Dennis McElwain, in, but he actually upped his pledge this week. So, bonus thank you to you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Awesome. And we also got Seath the Shamus. I hope I am pronouncing that correctly. Glad to have you aboard. And thanks to all the rest of our patrons that have been donating.
Thank you. It is really appreciated, all seriousness.
Yes.
Moving on, we have some questions.
Oh, good.
Oh, I see I've been called out.
Oh.
Oh, what?
I don't know. You want to read that one?
Yep. This is from my friend Allie Render Porter.
Mm.
She says, had to call out Randy over the weekend on Gilmore Girls not being anything like One Tree Hill. Three exclamation points, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Also, my strong love for Walking Dead. And admitted I've seen Fuller House. And pretty much eating up the people versus O.J. Simpson. Still, all credibility aside, assume I love great TV anyway. It's spring break. What should I for sure be catching up on?
So, I might have been the person who compared Gilmore Girls to One Tree Hill.
I mean, wow, I made some goofy Rory Lorelei jokes, but I had to take the heat for that.
I'm sorry about that. I lump all those CW, WB, whatever.
Wow, that's terrible.
You're not helping.
Yeah.
Stop digging.
I'm just pretty sure there's no difference between that, The Vampire Diaries, and The Flash.
Man, that was Grant, for the record, Ellie. That was Grant.
You can't lump all those millennial shows together, Grant.
That was Greg. I just want to be clear here.
That was yeah.
So, what's your go-to show, guys? For that, everyone
catch up,
needs to
catch up
on?
Show.
Catch up show.
I mean, Better Call Saul. If you haven't seen it, obviously.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. First season.
The Americans.
Yeah, The Americans is must see TV. I agree.
Well, I mean, it depends. What haven't you seen? You haven't seen Game of Thrones? Yes, Veep. Yes, almost anything on HBO.
Silicon Valley. If you can watch the first two seasons, fantastic! Oh, I went back and rewatched those. Those were so great.
Yeah. I would say, and I don't know for Allie, but for anybody, if you haven't watched Broad City.
Oh, yes.
Broad City's great.
I have not watched Broad City, and everyone's raving
about it. You haven't watched that?
No.
It's
Holy
so good.
Shit, that show is...
I'm a fan of girls. Broad Matters.
Please watch Broad City. And then
no, you can only like one show with girls in it.
Yeah, it's
please watch Broad City, and we can discuss.
Yeah.
All right.
It is great.
I love Broad City.
Love it.
Broad City's great. And it's
third season, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it just showed up on Hulu. I believe both seasons prior to this are on Hulu as well.
Or even if you're going to do new stuff, like I like that 1063-62. That's good.
Oh, yeah,
1123-63.
I should know that date. I totally fucked it up.
It's just numbers to you.
It's a particularly famous date.
Love on Netflix
is a good one to catch.
Up,
yep.
I actually saw that episode 4, and that was hilarious.
10 episodes and a half-hour episode, so that's a pretty quick catch-up.
Billions?
Billions.
Billions. I need to catch up on Billions.
Yeah, dude.
Actually, the show from BBC, Fortitude, is really good.
Oh, Luther's I need to catch Fortitude,
good.
Too.
Just too many shows.
But that's a good list of a bunch of them. I still need to catch up on Broadchurch season 2.
And Real Rob. Andy was talking about
that. Shut the hell up. No. No.
But she sounds like she actually might have seen that show based on a list of shows.
No one's watched Real Rob.
She merely admitted to having seen Fuller House.
Well,
no review.
That's the gateway drug to
Real Rob. And by the way,
Rob.
Admitted is key language. Admitted means she knows she did something wrong.
All right. Next one comes from Justin Zaria. And he says, hey, guys, with Game of Thrones coming in a month, what are the biggest questions, plot points, or other details you want to address this season? Ooh, that's a loaded question there.
That's a big question. So I've been trying to avoid trailers for Game of Thrones because I knew I was going to watch it.
Mm.
But I turned on John Oliver, and the trailer for the new season rolled.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I was literally cheering. I was so happy.
With the one with the Wicked Game?
Yeah.
Man, I hate that.
Well, I love that trailer.
Now,
I
like the song. Okay, this week, South by Southwest, we all live in Austin.
Yep.
Grant, I know you went to it. I went to the HBO Game of Thrones kind of display thing.
I didn't go south of North Loop.
But they did have a little clip.
Yeah.
You saw that scene?
Mm-hmm.
Well, which we won't talk about. So I'm curious to see where that scene goes. It looks like it should go someplace, but we're not sure.
I have a bunch of speculation, which I don't think is appropriate to go into.
Right, right.
No,
wants to avoid spoilers.
Yeah.
What I can say that is a little bit more relatively safe is I'm very interested in seeing how they handle the Bran storyline.
Yep.
Because we know we're going to be seeing him back again this season.
Yep.
In the books was a little bit more of a weaker point for me, but I have seen this show make a lot of things much more interesting than the books.
Mm-hmm.
And I am also very interested in what they can do with Arya's storyline.
I'm curious about that one. I'm also, I can't wait to see more of Daenerys, Tyrion, and Varys together.
Yes. Oh, and from just based on the trailer, Cersei's
story looks like it's going to get
great. You know what that is? You remember, in Snatch, they said, you know, a Pikey reaction is quite a reaction. Mm-hmm. And Lannister reaction to what happened to her is going to be quite a reaction.
Yeah.
Biggest mistake is not killing her.
Well, that line that's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I choose violence.
I choose violence. And the way she.
That was so good.
It's like, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. I'm excited for that.
There is a big story thread in the books that they seem to have purposely avoided addressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know why now.
Okay.
With how last season ended and a particular character.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So
I'm not sure I know what you're referring to.
That's very vague. I love it.
I know. I feel like I feel like we should have a discussion on like a Patreon thing.
You know what?
Spoiler talk.
Actually, go into spoilers.
You know what? That's a great line for Patreon.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, yeah. If you guys want to hear that, and it's in a safer space, and you've paid money.
Okay, so
really go into
the other thing I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. Are you guys very invested in Jon Snow? Like whether or not he's coming back? I mean, I don't know if you guys know. I don't know, but I've seen enough of Bleak spoilers. I think I know.
That's kind of what I was referring to.
Okay. All right. Because I don't know how invested I am in it, honestly. I'm curious, but it's like they've been putting out there like that's the big story. Like, is he back? Is he not back?
I don't think it's the big story. I personally don't think. I think
it's just a matter of how he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Because he's back.
I'm interested in it because it'd be the first time they actually brought back a character that people kind of liked.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm interested to see how they would handle that if that's what happens. We don't know. Or what Grant said, how if he's brought back, how he's in the show. You know what I mean?
By the way, I see that Ian McShane shares a similar vibe on spoilers as Greg.
But his is a lot worse because he's actually in the show and nobody has seen it.
Tits and Dragons, guys. Yeah. Love it.
Right. Mine is more like, if it's out for a week, you should have seen it. Now, I wouldn't be in the production.
This is like, it's Tits and Dragons. What are you so worried about?
Yeah.
Oh, so dickish. I love it.
But that's so Ian McShane.
Yeah.
It's great.
All right. Next question comes from Zach McLernan, and he says, so can we definitely say that True Detective is canceled at this point?
No.
Or is HBO in denial?
No.
Canceled? No. There'll probably be a season 3 at some point.
They'll reboot it. I think
they're going to give more time to whatever his name is, the writer.
Blanked on his name.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so terrible.
Palalak, Badaki, whatever.
We've totally blanked on his name. That's sad.
But they probably are going to put a little bit more pressure on him to have a writing staff. Yeah. I would be surprised if they really make that guy do all of it on his own again.
I think it depends on how HBO is doing with new shows.
That's true. Well, and like Westworld kind of fell apart.
Oh, well, they might need True Detective.
They need True Detective.
Yeah, and I still think the audience is going to be there.
Yeah,
for another season.
We all hated season two. We'll go back for season three. Nick Pizzolatto.
Right.
We'll all go back for season three.
I'll probably try to. With some kind of self-flagellation, try to rewatch season two and say, was it as bad as I thought it was? And I'll go back like, this is terrible. Yeah. Or I might be like, oh, this might actually is better than you think. And maybe I'll write like a revisionist version of it actually trying to say it's good.
Yeah, there you go.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
Ross Brown says, looking at the success of Bryan Cranston and Bob Odenkirk, are there any other actors or actresses mostly known for comedic roles that you'd like to see in a more serious or darker role?
Patton Oswalt. Mm. I absolutely look at what he's done on Justified. Mm-hmm. Look at what he's done on
Biggest Fan.
Patton Oswalt is ready for dramatic TV.
The first time I ever saw that was in the first season of Damages with Daryl Hammond, who was he was very creepy as like an assassin guy. I mean, I was like, whoa, I didn't know that was in him. You know,
yeah.
But I don't know. Let's see. I mean, if you think about maybe. Kevin Hart would be interesting. I think he could pull it off.
Maybe.
I'm
trying to think of good comedic. Amy Poehler.
I think Amy Poehler could pull to do series.
I don't know.
Well, Tina Fey's doing Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which is something of a drama in movies.
Yeah, but she's not like against cast, like playing like a. Like, say what Sandra Bullock did in the movie that won an Oscar.
Gravity.
Not Gravity, the terrible movie. The overrated movie.
The Blind Side?
No. Not the one she didn't win an Oscar. The movie won an Oscar.
Speed 2.
It was Speed 2.
No, about the race. It's about race, and it was...
boats racing, yeah.
Man, you guys are killing me.
Racing, yeah.
No, but she played like a really kind of...
The Blind Side was about race, I think, a little bit.
She played a really sour, like, racist woman.
Oh, Crash.
Crash. Yep. So she was kind of good in it. I mean, that was like the worst role.
We were so close.
If you were to say Speedboat Race,
yeah.
Right.
You might crash.
Oh,
so that's where my head was at. Yeah, I just right. wasn't there.
But like so I do think, or even like Melissa McCarthy would be interesting.
I was gonna say Melissa McCarthy. I'm not sure if she's got the chops.
I think she does. Did you see that movie with Bill Murray?
No, I did not see that one.
She was good in it. Okay. Like, well, she just wasn't doing like the kind of funny stuff all the time.
So, my trouble here is I have a hard time thinking of comedic actors and actresses. I know a lot more drama actors and actresses.
Anthony Anderson would be a good one, too.
He's done drama.
Do you remember when he was
drama,
in The
though.
Shield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was great there. Yeah. But, I mean, he mainly does comedic stuff.
That's true.
And if he was kind of mainlining his own, or not mainlining,
well, he did that short-lived... Sean Ryan didn't know that show when he was in New Orleans, did he?
No, that was an unfortunate show, because that should have worked, but
that should have worked, and he was good in that.
Yeah.
He was good in The Departed, too.
Yeah,
and obviously, we don't want a network show.
No, no, of course not. You wouldn't want that. I'm trying to think of other comedians.
Chris Rock has played Dark. I mean, he did Dark in Nurse Betty.
Yeah. All I know is Patton Oswalt is definitely my answer. I really want him to do more TV and
that's
really
a good series.
Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy needs to go back and do Eddie
Give
Murphy.
Up on Eddie. Give up on him. He
Eddie's
gave up
time,
on himself.
Yeah, Eddie's time has passed.
Yeah.
But Patton Oswalt, I think that is likely.
I think so, too. I hope so.
So Alejandro Reyes Zapata said, have you done anything for South by Southwest, that is? If so, what was the moment you had? Also, what was your favorite past South by memories?
Oh.
Well, Greg and I were just talking that we went to the Game of Thrones exhibit, and I try to do that every year.
That's all I've done.
Yeah.
This year, like the last 2 years for South by, last year was in L.A. This year, you know, with Ellington, I just, nah.
I generally don't participate too much. There is a poster convention I like to go to called Flatstock.
Yeah, that's
pretty
cool.
That's going to be open this weekend. I might try and run by that again.
My favorite, though, is whenever I played it. You know, I played it a few times. I played it, and then I got the wristband for playing it, where you can get to go all the shows. So I went and saw Nas, which is great. 2 years ago, they did the Apple, like the free Apple concerts at the Willie Nelson Theater, whatever they call it now. And we went, Helene and I went and stood in line and we're like front row for some reason, I don't know. I'd never really heard Pitbull before seeing him. And I, you know, I still don't quite understand why he's so popular, but damn, that guy, that was a good show. I saw, we saw Pitbull and we saw Keith Urban, who was really good, too. Two shows I would not give a dollar to. But
seems like you kind of get it.
Yeah.
What about you, Randy?
I'm going to get on a plane and fly to Chicago.
That's right.
Gotcha.
That's right. But have you ever done it, like, in the past? I mean, I've been here for what? For almost 16 years. I've done every year, except for the last two, I've either played it or attended or had a wristband, something like that. I've always enjoyed it, but it's always been, like, the same... I'm either playing it or I see a really good band I like, and that's cool. But nothing like... I think the most interesting thing was when Twitter debuted in 2007.
Remember when they had the homeless people you could charge your phone to?
Yeah. No, holy shit.
That was like 2 years ago. Yeah. Such a terrible
thing. Oh, my God.
And then they switched it to dogs that you could do.
When they had Twitter...
Charging dogs.
And I kind of got into Twitter right... When it launched at South by, that was probably like the most interesting thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've never gone. I've either never had the money or the time, and now it's just too crowded and everything. But I love South by, and I'm glad we have it, because I think that a lot of people, that the standard Austin thing is, ugh, don't move here, you're ruining our traffic. And the thing is, South by is great for Austin.
Yeah, it's really good.
The traffic and the congestion and all that stuff, that's a price we pay for having a vibrant city and a successful arts community.
Yeah.
It's totally, when I see people like, ugh, don't
move
here.
Every time someone complains, I'm like, how long have you
been
here? Yeah.
I think there are some valid complaints, though, because...
Sure, it's a big festival. There's going to be complaints.
And because of, as far as like local talent, quote unquote, they don't, it's like none of the, like back in the day, local talent could be springboarded to something national. That's not going to happen now, you know?
Yeah.
And now
everyone brings in their own people all the shows. And
I can understand why that would be annoying. So, yeah. And it's mainly the musicians who are complaining about it because they're not getting the good gigs or getting signed or anything from it. So
that's a good point there.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. And this one comes from Kyle Volte. He says, hey, TV dudes, hey. What shows from your youth do you wish were around for your kids to watch while they grow up?
Oh. They're all around. That's the beauty of Netflix and Amazon streaming. They're all around.
And YouTube.
It's still here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what would I even want my kids to watch that I watched as a kid?
I mean, like children's stuff, like old Sesame Street and Electric Company stuff.
That's the thing. Sesame Street is the obvious go-to answer.
You guys have a lot more youth than me.
The Saturday morning cartoons about Amonia Bill, Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function, that kind of stuff. I've got the DVD of that, so he's going to watch that.
Most of the stuff I watched as a kid, I wouldn't wish on my kids. I think there's better kids entertainment
now. Yeah, it's gotten so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, I'll get some visceral, memories of watching The A-Team, but it's a terrible show.
It's a terrible show.
I mean, the special effects. Yeah. Remember when they used to do explosions and all it would be with some guy on a trampoline just bouncing in the
away?
Air?
Yes. Yes.
Then that was like the action, explosion thing for 10 years, you know?
The only thing I wish is that when my daughter was in her sitcom phase, which she was, now she watches Supernatural and that's about it. Mm-hmm. But when she was watching everything sitcom, I wish she'd been able to get into Cheers. Because she mostly like Modern Family and 30 mm-hmm. Rock and sort of the modern stuff. But she
didn't. Really? You wanted to get into Cheers?
Cheers is a great comedy.
This is interesting. Does she. So she'll watch Modern Family?
Not anymore.
Okay. Because I'm trying to think. I don't know somebody under the age of 15 who could watch 22 episodes of one show anymore.
Oh, no. She marathon shows like crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the advantage of youth. You have time.
Yeah, yeah. So
I just wish Lost was around so my kid could still watch.
Oh, it is!
Oh, yes.
Well, by the time that she's old enough to see it, they'll probably do the reboot. Will be going.
What do you mean, old enough to? Yeah. She's already watched it three times.
Oh, I hear that Rob Schneider is going to reboot Lost.
Oh, boy.
Not so funny anymore, is it, Grant?
We're taking a break. I'm going to kill you. Got away with words. I got away with you when I keep on singing sad. But I got you moving, lady. Say you like my band. Like the way it sounds when I smooth it out with them. So we keep on playing you. But it's still our manage how just moves the crowd. Can't fight this feeling. I need it, I want it. Girl, you got my heart beating. You want it, I want it. Now you know and I know. I'm feeling you so. Alright, so we have some news. The biggest news is, of course, that Better Call Saul will be back for season 3.
Woo! There was no doubt, right? I mean, the ratings have been good. The show's been great.
I'm surprised they didn't renew it for season 4 as well.
Yeah, renew it for season 8.
Yeah.
I think just keep it running until they all die.
I think it depends how long Vince Gilligan wants to do it, honestly. Yeah.
Well, they seem to be having a good time.
Yeah. and I like it because they're very deliberate, and it's like he's one of those visionary guys who knows the product he has, and kind of like the fine wine will work on it until it's right, and every piece of nuance is just great.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's another big announcement. The Tick live action series has been officially greenlit as a pilot.
Hey. That's kind of crazy.
That's the good news. The bad news is Patrick Warburton isn't going to be the Tick.
He's not?
Nope.
That's also kind of crazy.
Who else can do that?
You know what? You could find somebody else to play the
Tick.
I know. Warburton's a busy guy.
Busy doing... You know, wait a sec. He's one of those guys that, like, every time he's in something, it's funny. Oh, he's doing a new sitcom.
He actually just got added to a new Netflix show. That's also part of our news.
He's doing a new sitcom that's coming up. I want to say it was on NBC.
Yeah. Well, he's also doing a series of unfortunate events at Netflix.
Yeah.
Along with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. God, he is a busy
guy. That's a good get for them.
You know, the other thing about that's kind of funny about Patrick Warburton, he's done so much work, commercials, movies, voiceover. Yeah. I bet that guy has a decent residual check rolling in every month.
That dude works because he wants to work.
Yeah.
You know, he works.
The amount of work he's done.
But he's not A-list yet.
He doesn't care.
He's never going to be A-list.
I don't think he cares. He's one of those people that I think that if you're an actor, you should aspire to be him, constantly working.
Yeah,
you
working
do your
actor.
Thing.
Yeah.
And you're known for that thing, and you can apply to other, and you can apply it to like a bunch of different properties.
Maybe Patrick Warburton's time to go drama.
Nah.
Nope.
I don't think he's a big dramatic
never
actor.
Work. Nah. All right. Apparently, Fox is rebooting The Exorcist.
No.
This is not a good idea in any way.
But I like Gina Davis.
I didn't even know The Exorcist was a TV show.
I didn't either. They're casting Gina Davis. It's a modernized take on the book and film, a serialized psychological thriller following two very different men tackling one family's case of horrifying demonic possession and confronting the face of true evil. Here's the thing. Their timing is good because Robert Kirkman has a new show coming up on Cinemax called Outcast.
Yeah.
That's about sort of a damaged exorcist.
Yes.
So this is going to be the good time to have this on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the network version of it.
Yeah.
Now, are they just relegating her to like the role of the mom?
She's playing Angela Rantz, described as regal and proud, but weighed down by stress.
What?
So yes.
Man. But she's better than that.
No, she is.
She does everything. She should be one of the exorcists.
She does everything she can to stay positive and keep her faith, even though her family is currently struggling.
You know,
she should gender switch and pretend she's one of the dude priests.
Yes. Sure, why not?
Oh my gosh.
They got Louis Anderson playing the mom on Baskets.
You know, that's so
Louis Anderson should play one of the priests.
Yeah.
In drag.
At the same time.
He can do it.
He can do it.
As Baskets' mom. That'd be
Where's
hilarious.
His drama?
Baskets' mom. Yeah, where's Louis Anderson's drama?
You know, I forgot she won an Academy Award. Wow.
Oh yeah, Gina Davis is
now there's somebody that needs like a drama on HBO. So she'd be great.
She needs something that gives her because she could top line something. All right. This is maybe not a first, but I feel like it's a rarity.
Okay.
The premiere date for a Netflix show was announced not by the network, not by the producers, by the star.
Oh. That's kind of cool.
So we have a date for Luke Cage, according to Mike Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name, the lead? September 30th, we'll be seeing Luke Cage.
And guess what we're getting next week?
Daredevil.
Daredevil season two. Man, it crept up fast.
Yep.
I mean, I wasn't even thinking. I was like, oh, yeah, shit.
That's how Daredevil does it. He's got ninja training. He sneaks up on you.
Next week, we're going to be discussing that and the Return of the Americans.
Yep.
Best show on TV.
Which, as we're recording, I guess it's probably on TV.
It's a good time for TV.
Best time.
Plus,
best
Better Call Saul still on.
You know, I was just thinking, man, you know what I need is more shows that I have to watch.
Me, too. It's not like I have 20 shows lined up waiting for me to watch them.
We don't say get to watch. We say have to
watch. Have to watch.
Have to watch.
We're here to work for you.
That's how it is at the TV, dudes. No rest.
Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Fire me into the sky tonight. Make me know that I'm the one for you, babe. Fire me into the sky tonight. Make me know that I'm the one for you, babe.
So we titled this episode, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and we're going to start with the bad. The bad being a new show that just released over on Netflix called Flaked. This is starring Will Arnett.
Oh.
Once again, he's got another show. Yeah, I mean, he has BoJack already going on over there. And he has Arrested Development, which I guess is still ongoing.
Sure,
supposedly.
Baby.
So why is he spreading himself so thin?
Well, don't worry. He's not really spreading himself too thin with this show because there's nothing to this show. I don't even know why they made it. It's terrible. The show's called Flake. Did I say Flake?
Yeah, Flake is Will Arnett. Now, Will Arnett and comedy has not always been a magic match.
I mean, I think he's pretty great. I thought him on 30 Rock, him on Arrested Development have
been
fantastic.
He's a great supporting actor.
But he can't.
Cannot carry it.
Well, we really only have Running Wild to judge that off of, right? I mean,
And Flaked.
And Flaked.
That's true. With three, it's a trend. So yeah. We need a third terrible show.
And the thing is, he's actually partnered up with Mitch Hurwitz, who created Arrested Development. That guy's a executive producer on this. I don't
also
know how
on Running
much
Wild.
He's involved.
Maybe Arnett and Mitch Hurwitz should get as far away from each other as possible.
Yeah, maybe they need a little space. So Flaked is about a guy. Here, let me read their description. Maybe it'll make more sense to me. Will Arnett is a self-help guru who needs a decent amount of help himself. That's really the description they're going to give?
Okay, that's not good.
I'll try my best. So he is a guy that we are introduced to as a recovering alcoholic. He's he's in the system, and he attends meetings out in Venice Beach, California. Mm-hmm. And he and a buddy of his, he just kind of mopes around life, not really doing much, but hooking up with attractive chicks.
I begin to see why Will Arnett agreed to star in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just kind of the cool, suave dude who is, I guess, flaky, but not really. He flakes out in the first episode. I watched two episodes. I don't know why I watched the second one.
Does he eat cornflakes in the morning? Is that his thing?
Sure, frosted flakes?
Here's the big twist they give at the end of the first episode.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's still secretly drinking. So this is a guy who goes to AA meetings, and he like goes and harasses other people to make sure they're really attending their meetings. Uh-huh. But he himself is secretly drinking.
I'm
like, okay, that could be kind of interesting. But nothing else in the episode they do at all is interesting. All the dialogue is clumsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seems like they're trying to build up to jokes, but nothing ever hits as a joke. Nothing seems funny.
Okay.
His supporting cast, he's got this guy, David Sullivan, who's this kind of milquetoast loser neighbor who's his buddy, and mm-hmm. they have inane conversations that never lead to anything.
Okay.
And this guy's trying to hit on a girl at a coffee shop, and so Will Arnett's like, not supposed to hit on this guy, this chick, so that his buddy can, uh-huh. and you know where that plot point's going to go. Mm-hmm. He hits on the chick, whatever. It's dumb. The whole show is just not good. There's nothing to it. I stared at this slack-jawed like, Is anything going to happen interesting in this? Nope. Apparently not. Watch the second episode. Even less. Though here's something I think was good about it.
Okay.
They give a good sense of place, of atmosphere, of Venice Beach. I really felt I was there. It seemed like that was the main highlight of the show. It's like, here's what Venice Beach is like. There's a bunch of old washed up surfer beach bum dudes who now just kind of coast through life and don't have any responsibility, and all female characters are sex objects for the dudes, and the dudes have no charisma.
That's
the show flaked, guys.
Okay, that's just great. I mean, they must all
really sold it.
I don't know how Netflix has this.
And then they must all be super rich guys, because in Venice, you know, it's like one of the most expensive places to live in the United States. So
He not only has a pretty nice looking house,
right?
He also owns a business that is like a huge amount of real estate. It's a furniture shop,
right?
And he doesn't do anything in the shop. It's just like empty, and no one comes in there, and it's just a bunch of garbage in there. Mm-hmm. And it's a $4 million property that he just has a magical buddy who is lending this to him. And one of the other plot points is that guy's now going to try and sell the place, so he's going to be out of his business, which is his tether to being an adult. I don't know.
It's a terrible show. You know what? This sounds like...
Nothing would happen.
Could you say it's, let's see, Will Arnett, and who's the other creator?
Mitch Hurwitz.
So they're kind of like... It sounded like they were like, you know, in the trailer from like a scene or having rewrites from Arrested Development, and they've just been shooting a shit about some idea, some weird idea. If somebody gave them some money to make
If they improv this, that might make sense to me. Because there's no good dialogue. Nothing is good about it.
Well, still, this is why, you know, again, why they hate us, whoever they are. Because it's like... How much money did they get to do this just to kind of improv?
They're just kind of fucking around. It feels like when Sandler goes and does a location movie so he can just go with his friends and have fun and not make anything quality.
It's just like
we're going to go hang out in Venice and we're just going to soak up the sun.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that about Hollywood. It's very interesting.
Can I ask a very important question?
Right yeah.
Better or worse than Real Rob?
You should know. That means you need to watch it and write the review.
No, I think Grant should watch Real Rob to compare and contrast.
Maybe I need to watch Real Rob because I'm actually curious. I imagine Real Rob will at least have energy to it.
See that, Greg? I found a loophole.
I know. That was good. No, he roped you in. He roped you in.
There's no energy to this. I feel like I'm in this like beach bum, drunken, wine drunk haze of just like apathy.
Maybe they're all high. Maybe they're all doing medicinal marijuana.
And I'm like, are the performances bad? The performances aren't necessarily bad, but they're not good. There's nothing, there's no one stepping up to do anything interesting.
There was a clue in the title. Flake. I bet it's great to watch. If you're on cocaine wine,
that's what it is. Cocaine wine break. Actually, we're not going to take a break. We're going to move on to the ugly.
We're going to drink our cocaine wine on mic.
Well, we're going to talk about a show, Underground, which just came debuted on WGN.
WGN, one of the original superstations.
Yeah,
from
and
Chicago.
Now it's not really available to a lot of people.
I know.
Still to stick around Chicago.
Well, they kind of went superstation before it was hip to be superstation.
But you can watch this online. The first episode, at least, is free on their website.
Yes.
And this is a show about slavery in 1857, I believe, it takes place.
Uh-huh.
And this has got like an all-star cast. And we labeled this ugly just because of the time period and dealing with slavery.
There's nothing cute about slavery.
Yeah, but otherwise, this is a... it was actually a pretty strong debut.
It's, I mean, pilot. Underground... If you know, most people in America should know the history about the Underground Railroad. So the slaves are trying to get to the North.
There's a Georgian plantation,
right.
And we see this plantation owner and some slaves that tried to escape, maybe, or were doing reconnaissance to do a bigger escape.
Yeah, the main guy was trying to do reconnaissance, ends up getting caught, you find out. And the main guy's name is... it's funny because, and this is terrible, but there's so many people in this show that I cannot remember everybody's name, so I gotta look it up. I gotta go to IMDb. But
he is the rival quarterback from... the fourth season of Friday Night Lights.
That gentleman.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And he's got like such intensity to his eyes. I can't even find his name, though, either on here.
Yeah. Well, the biggest name is probably Christopher Maloney.
Chris Maloney. Oh, his name's Aldous Hodge.
Yes, right.
Noah. McKelty Williamson is in this.
Yeah, he's in this. And so is
Clark Peters.
Clark Peters, Lester Fane from The Wire. And so is, let's see, Journey Smollett Bell.
Yeah, she was also in Friday Night Lights.
Right. So there's a lot of people you're going to recognize. So basically, you've got all these different plot points. You've got an abolitionist lawyer who's trying to fight for freedom, giving a great speech on the steps.
And plot twist.
Plot twist. Yeah, like
he's the brother of the plantation owner.
Yeah, which
they have very different perspectives on
which
this.
Which I think, and oh, talk about it. Okay. So you have all these interesting twists, but then you have these little moments like, okay, so the brother goes down with his wife, and they're in this plantation, and they're like, this is disgusting, right? And so remember that scene? There's a scene with the women, they're in there talking about eating some pie or some shit, or talking about, because there's a girl, it's the plantation owner's daughter's birthday party. And so the abolitionist wife... is, you know, gives a little dig as, oh, you made, this is a great pie, so did you make it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And then the slave owner's wife just digs into her because she has this disability.
Infertility issues.
Infertility.
Yeah.
And which is just hard. And then they pair up and you see like an 8-year-old boy in his box fainting. Because remember,
little slave boy, yeah.
Yeah, 1857, no indoor air conditioning. And he's just fanning. I'm like, this is terrible. I've never seen anything like them.
This show has some really great art direction.
Yes.
The opening scene has Journey Smollett running through the house.
That was great.
That was a great shot. It was fantastic.
And we didn't even know why she was running through the house.
Yeah.
Great build-up moment. And that went a place I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Where...
The pregnancy and birth, those labor thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but how that resolved was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like it goes there in a lot of levels. Like, there's a lot of death. Whipping is never easy to watch. And there's already been two whippings. You're like, oh.
And they make you watch it. And they're
yeah.
Check this shit out.
And Christopher Maloney does this thing. He has this really cool turn that I don't know why I didn't see that. Maybe because it's like... it's not like your typical like good white man and good white man and all the slaves are all together. There's definitely different factions. Like you've got, you know, the house Negro, field Negro. You've got the other people who are, you've got the slaves who are trying to save their own skin, so they're assimilated with the masters. And you get the other slaves who are earning money, who think they can buy their own freedom. All this stuff is going on at the same time while the reconnaissance guy went out and got a map that's supposed to help lead them to freedom. And how cool was that, where it was actually like sung because
because
the
slave song,
the slave, yeah, it was just
coded messages and
right.
The idea
it's there's so many pieces to it and they all work.
Except how did that guy write it?
I don't know.
If this guy's dying, he was this giant thing on the wall.
Yeah,
I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was kind of...
everyone else ignored it. Everyone else was in the room.
Yeah, he's sitting up against it. Yeah, I was a little... but I liked it, though. It was cool.
So I generally have a problem with period pieces. Mm-hmm. I just find a lot of them to be a little bit tedious, a little boring.
Right.
This one, it starts off really intense. It's got a great modern soundtrack that it seems to intermittently pump in for particular scenes. And that was like a Kanye song, I believe, in the beginning.
It worked for me. I don't know, because maybe
it worked, but it wasn't consistent. It's just, it's like a... It punctuates certain scenes.
And they did that with Old Slave singing too, which is great, and mm-hmm. they kind of mixed them together. It's just something I haven't really... It's like the old type of trope, but I haven't really seen it done this way.
And yeah, and on top of that, they seem to have a couple scenes where they do directorial flourishes that kind of take me out of a typical period piece. Mm-hmm. Like... when he was talking about like his crew that he's going to assemble to help escape.
Yeah.
And it became kind of Guy Ritchie's. It was like, it would highlight the characters. Here's the players, or like Ocean 11 kind of thing. We'll get this person. And this person is this type of character, personality type. And then we'll get this person, and this character type. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. And that's what started hooking me.
And I think if there's one good thing besides stars, actually more
it's a little gimmicky.
More importantly than you know, big names, quote unquote, you know, that are on the front of the camera coming to TV, I think it's the direction and the writing that's really taken off with like the way things are shot, the way things are written in story and plots. Mm-hmm. That has really just gone through the roof.
And the writing was smart,
very smart.
And where they cut scenes to transition and like lead up to a question, but they allow you to figure it out yourself, the audience, and then some are mysteries that they reveal later on. It's just all of it. It was like, wow, great job, WGN. Yeah,
that okay. The mother and daughter after the big thing with the baby, and the daughter is obviously distraught, and the mother just gives her this speech. I was like, whoa,
it's like, yeah.
This is the way life is. Just, you got, you know, basically, just get your shit, put the shit into work. Just go. Come on, we got to go. I was like, that's some cold shit, man. But at the same time, you see that,
you're like,
that
mother, like reality check.
Right, but then that mother has to watch her daughter get whipped, you know, for something that, you know, to save her brother. I mean, it's not your typical slave running for freedom show. It's got a lot of plot twists. It looks like, just based on the coming this season type stuff, it's some interesting things. It's shot well. The music is great. It doesn't look cheap at all.
You know what I mean? It looks really great quality.
Yeah, which sometimes on some of the smaller networks, you know, that cheapness can get in the way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do it on this show. I think
it was a constrained set.
Yes.
But I thought that they still allowed it to breathe quite a bit.
And then WGN had this other show, Outsiders, that they ran a commercial for after watching.
The one with the two mountain men on the different hills riding like dune buggies back and forth?
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this? How did I miss this? It looked interesting because David Morris is in it. I'm like, what? So I don't know. They might be a little sleeper of like WGN is like starting to put together some decent shows.
Yeah. So. I'm very fascinated. I'm excited to actually see the second episode here.
I think this might be... If it goes the way I think it's going to go, it could fit in my top, 103 best new shows of if I can be like Randy,
amateur,
my 103 new shows of 2016. Geez,
try watching some TV, Greg.
Well, let's move on to the good, the consistently good.
Yes,
Better Call Saul.
Some might say great.
Is this episode 6 or 7?
Episode. Six.
I think it's five, isn't it?
Is
five?
It?
Rebecca.
This episode's called Rebecca, and the reveal of Rebecca is that's Chuck's wife.
Chuck's wife.
Probably ex-wife.
I didn't know he had a wife.
I don't think
anybody. It makes a lot of sense, though.
Did they make a mention of that?
No, this is new.
That was, like, the whole chemistry of that intro shot just was, like, such a big reveal into how Chuck looks at his brother.
Yeah.
And why he is the way he is about his brother.
Well, yeah, there's this whole thing where all of a sudden we see that Chuck, for all that Chuck's always been the older brother and the guy successful, one the successful lawyer, all that stuff.
Right.
He's still kind of petty and jealous when it comes to his little brother.
He's got a lot of insecurity and he's got a lot of uptight values and world perspective. And it was great how they showed that. And they show it through like facial emotions and like and nonverbal tics. And, like just like lining that up and then setting up and scoring it with audio.
Yeah.
Michael McKean was a great.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of, I know we got the question earlier about comedic actors doing dramedy.
Yeah, Michael McKean's been drama. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
also,
he's great.
This shows us, this really illustrates, we already knew that Chuck had lost a lot with his illness, that he had lost his career, basically, that he lost the respect of a lot of his peers. You know, he lost light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lost music that he clearly loved.
He didn't lose
any
money,
lost the woman of his life. He lost a lot, and we don't know exactly how or why.
Right.
But you can start to feel a little sympathy for the guy even when he's being a dick, which is a lot of the time.
Well, that's what is great about this show. Your allegiances with all the characters switch all the time.
Yeah.
The only one who probably is Kim, who hasn't. She hasn't turned,
we haven't got some backstory reveal.
Right, or also some bad Kim issues where she's being a bad person. But everybody else, they've all switched. I mean, Mike, you feel sorry for Mike, but then Mike's kind of a dick. You know, same thing with Jimmy, same thing with Chuck and Howard too. So I do like that that you get you kind of vacillate between when you're looking at Chuck, you kind of I understand why you hate your brother, but there's better ways to maybe try to help him, but then I can understand why you're frustrated with him, too.
It's interesting what you were mentioning about Kim, about how she is steadfastly a consistent character.
Right.
And I'm wondering what you guys think about how she compares in this show to how they created Skyler for Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Do you think that she is relegated to the position of the shrill, do-good female companion that tries to hold back?
No, she's not. And I'm not. I think part of that is that with Walt, even though everyone could see that we were going down a bad road, there was always this sense of, oh, no, Walt's breaking the rules and all this kind of stuff.
But you don't know what he's going through, but why he has to do
it. We know where Jimmy McGill ends up, and we know it's not good for him. So Kim isn't the voice of fun killing. She's the voice of reason, and we know that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the only thing I see maybe with Kim would be being naive. And sometimes you do need a true believer. And if she's that true believer in trying to get, she cares about Jimmy. I mean, that scene where it's like, I'm not talking to you. I'm in the basement. I got to get myself out of it. Doesn't mean I don't like you or I'm not still into you. But I got to get this done. And you got to understand it. And the way that she kind of just is holding on to trying to have a relationship change or trying to fix Jimmy or something like that. I think that's a very real thing, and I think she's a real character that her flaws that she might be too naive.
I guess I just kind of feel like if there's a criticism to be levied at these two shows, this and Breaking Bad, which I love them both, is that they're a little bit weak on how they characterize their female characters. I think that they often relegate them to these positions that are supposed to be guiding the more interesting and nuanced male characters. And it was true of, they played a little bit with Marie being a kleptomaniac.
I thought that was great.
But, and being controlling. And I thought that was good, but Skyler and the Jessica mom, girlfriend? What's his name? Mike's daughter-in-law. And Kim, I don't think they get as much to play with.
What about Becky, Betsy?
Betsy Bryant.
Yeah,
no,
Marie.
No. What about the actress from the first season? Remember the crazy, housewife that remember
first
her husband?
Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Remember her husband embezzled all that money?
Oh yeah, she was great.
What was her name? She was a great flawed character.
She was the one who was. She was the
Let's
one.
Let's not
who
forget her.
She was the one who was leading that whole thing.
It's a very male-heavy cast.
It is. You're right.
And she's pretty much the only consistent female character is Kim.
But it's funny that you bring this up now because this was Kim's spotlight episode. Ray Sehorn really got to show off. She got to show off the same sort of ambition that Jimmy has, and the same sort of working outside the rules and yet still working within the rules, the way that she was using her lunch break to go cold call people and find business and all that.
Right.
She was doing her version of Jimmy McGill, which was to work within the system, but still to find the loophole to get her back in. She didn't really want to just put her time in down below and try to get back that way. She wanted to take the shortcut.
And they didn't tell us what was going on. I thought she was job hunting for something else.
No, I got what she was looking for. She was looking for Billings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you bring in big Billings, then they're probably going to put you on that case.
Right.
Unless your boss is a huge dick.
Howard
and just shut you down because that was cold.
That, no, Howard, again, like I was saying, it's like last year, Howard was the dick, but like, no, because it was Chuck that didn't want Jimmy in the field.
Yeah, we thought poor Howard had been under Chuck's thumb.
But no,
time.
Howard's a dick too.
Howard's
and,
a dick too.
And then Chuck has a redeeming scene that was beautiful.
Well, did you now? Do you read that as a redeeming scene? Because I read that as Chuck playing games.
I think it was a redeeming scene because that story, the background story about Jimmy and his dad.
If it's true,
I think it's true.
If it's all a matter of his perspective,
let me say this.
Yeah.
I don't have any inside information, but I do listen to the Better Call Saul Insider podcast.
Yeah.
And Vince Gilligan was on there, and Ray Seahorn was on there.
I haven't heard
and
that.
And they definitely gave the implication. They don't, I mean, you know how they write the show. They don't know what's true and what's not.
Right.
But to them, it is not a closed question as whether or not Chuck was lying or not. Or telling a colored version of that story that paints him in a good light and Jimmy in a bad one.
Hmm.
Because Chuck's done that numerous times.
That's true.
He can't tell a joke, though.
He can't tell a joke.
The lawyer jokes were... Yeah,
His timing's off.
We're pretty bad. But I don't know. I just it would make sense with Jimmy like that he can't help himself, which I think is the most important thing. Because Jimmy can't. Because as many times, like, you know, like that's, you know, the episode where he had the commercial, he kept walking past the office. It's like, dude, just go in there. Just explain it. Just talk to him. Well, and he just couldn't do it.
It's interesting because that seems to be like what the writers are trying to do now. They're trying to paint Jimmy in more and more of a negative light for us, the audience, because I think they've made him so lovable.
Yeah,
that we want him to win. Trying to pull a little bit of that back for us and our expectations. Yeah.
Because he's a bad guy. All the stuff he did with Walt, he's a bad dude.
Well, that's where we're going.
Yeah, but that
we know that's where
yet.
He's going, but he hasn't happened yet.
I mean, right now he's just kind of a little trickster. He's a prankster.
But speaking of that, how about his new babysitter? I can't remember
the new girl who's
God, she
was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. She was annoying the fuck out of me. Like I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I loved her because she's doing the job that she's supposed to be doing, which is to keep him from cheating.
That's a better like written character, to what I kind of expect from this show. And they bring in little side characters like that. I really appreciate what they were doing with her. This episode overall, though, I found it a little bit to be. It seemed like a little bit more of a filler. Maybe it was because Jimmy wasn't at the forefront, and I'm so used to getting Jimmy/Saul stories.
Oh, man.
And like he wasn't doing much, so it was all just kind of like business work going on.
I think we're also coming off a heavy Mike episode, so this is two episodes in a row that Jimmy's been sort of pushed to the background.
And Mike's storyline was a little bit... the very end.
to me, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and sit through an episode like this because I do love because when things hit later, they hit even harder because you have that
it's gonna
backstory.
Be a payoff. But this just seemed a little bit slower as far as like ranking the episodes. This is not gonna be in one of my top episodes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting you say that because I really like this episode. I don't know if I'd call it a favorite.
No,
but the stuff with The stuff with Kim and the post-it notes and going outside for lunch and her whole chasing down the leads and the reaction she had when she got it. I loved that whole story. I loved every one of those scenes. The scene with her and Chuck I thought was really great. We haven't seen them together that much.
Yes, right.
And I thought they played off each other very well.
It seemed like repetitive, though. Like they really extended out the hustling work that she did.
Yeah, but that was so that you that was to build up the payoff.
And I think
to show how cold calling works.
Yeah, and it's hard, man. I mean, if you are in a you're stuck in something, you got to go and you have to whenever you cold call, you kind of have to just bite down on your tongue, you know, really shove your ego in your pocket and just suck up the
look like the sad sack. Yeah.
And I've had to do it. It's hard, man. Yeah. And so I really appreciate how tedious and how long it is because when you're in it, you don't think it's ever going to end. You don't think you're ever going to get that yes. And she got that yes, you know?
I mean, this is, I'm not saying I didn't like the
episode.
You're
still grading on a curve.
All these episodes, this show is the best show out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the good of our episode. And it's just when we go back and we had to look at all the episodes and rank them, I'll be very interested if this is in your top three.
Well,
and even in your top five.
It might not be. I don't know. I But I definitely didn't. There was no point at which I was watching this thinking, oh, that's kind of a weaker episode. I was pretty much in the whole time.
I was riveted because now it's like this tiny explosions, and I'm waiting for like something's going to happen.
The shockwaves?
The little shockwaves are coming. So that's. Well, I've been trained for that. Vince Gilligan has done a good job with training me for that. So.
Well, and then we got a big shockwave from this week.
And I was zoning. I couldn't remember, like, why do I know that the uncle coming in? Oh, yeah. It made me go back and watch. What? I can't even remember the name of that.
Salamanca,
no, but I can't remember the bomb episode, which is one of the...
Ding.
The Ding, which is one of the most best episodes, one of the most shocking things I've ever seen on television.
So, was he speaking in Breaking Bad?
No. He was already relegated.
He had a stroke.
Yes.
And so, he was nonverbal. So, this is
like
him...
from the beginning.
Yeah. And then we did that flashback to him as a bit of a swagger.
Right.
This is clearly between that point. He's a little slower... And he's got more of a deliberate speech pattern, but he's definitely pre-stroke. Yeah. And he's scary as hell.
It's great to have that actor. Yeah. Just Mike's reaction at the end. Yeah. It's just like, fucking hell.
Margolis, who's Hector.
Mark Margolis, yep.
And he is really just scary. And then Mike's like gets that. First of all, the makeup job on Mike's face is like, man, that was really disgusting.
Good. You know what? I believe, and I don't know, this might just be last week, I think that might all be digital.
You know, that makes sense.
Are you really? Seriously?
Well, last week, I know, the last week episode where he took that beating, there was no makeup. It was all digital.
Oh, no. That was actually all real. They just beat the shit out of the actor.
Hey, he's an older guy. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
Ermin Trout really is like a method actor. So he's really into the method. He's like, it's really hit me.
He became an actor before they had unions to protect
him. Yeah, so. Just, they don't know. They've never shown him any contracts. One thing I really love about Better Call Saul and Tito Salamanca showing up is a big part of this is they killed off all these great characters,
right?
And now they can go back and use them again. I can't wait to see Gus.
Yeah,
you know we're gonna.
Yeah,
although it might not be until next season.
It probably won't.
That should be like the last episode.
By the way, I think we're at the halfway point of the season. Is that right?
Yeah, this was episode. Let me tell you, it was episode 5.
Okay, so maybe not. Is it a 10 episode season?
Just 10 episodes.
We still got 5 more?
We got 5 more.
Awesome. We only have 5 more.
Awesome, awesome.
I love this show.
Until next year. But yeah, it's... I love this show. Right, it is... Until I go home tonight and watch The Americans, is the best show on television right now. And it's like, I actually don't even have to DVR it. I actually watch it live all the time.
What? People watch TV live still?
I know. I'm an old man. I still watch local news.
That's crazy.
But it's this show that like I watch live. If I didn't DVR, I mean, I DVR it, I'll watch it like, I watch it twice because usually Helene doesn't watch it live with me. So I'll watch it twice and, you know, then it gets that, you know, you get that richness of it.
The extra layer.
Of
like how they direct it.
Where you see the shots, like, oh, that's a great shot.
Man, the cinematography, all the sticky notes, everything, man. Yeah, it's just fantastic.
It is well done. It's a great show. And I just... Yeah, I just every time I'm just eager to see what's going to happen and how they're going to move the plot over, you know.
Well, we'll be back next week to discuss more of this show because we can't get enough of it.
Yep.
One thing is, I don't want to steal this idea, but The Ringer does this thing. Not The Ringer. I'm sorry, The Watch, which is part of Bill Simmons' networks, but Andy Greenwald and Chris Ryan do this thing where they have called the belt about which is the best show that's on TV now. And basically they say like, okay, the belt is cultural conversation, not necessarily ratings, but something everybody's talking about. They're giving it to the OJ show right now. I would love to do something like that, but I don't, but it, the idea is already taken. I don't know what else to call it. But
we're talking about what our favorite show is at the time, which is Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Better Call.
They have a belt. We will have a fanny pack. We will pass around the fanny pack.
Yes. Yeah.
To the show we're the biggest fan of.
Oh. See how he did that, folks? How he did that?
Well, I think it's as good a time as any to throw down a smoke bomb and get out of here.
That was the ugly.
The best time was 5 minutes. The best time was 5 minutes before that joke. It's too late now.
Thank you guys once again for checking out our show. And thank you, Randy and Greg.
Thanks, Grant.
Thank you, Grant.
And until next week, TV Dudes out.
I'm used to living black magic and black denim. I'm Murakami with fever dreams for fast women. The world spin, I send them back for days. Cinematic, we sailing back in 89, fine past the mains. I pass the days by Dunny, but I don't pass the haze. Ask the place, mixtape terror, I need a change of pace.
shake the city up. Bitches is looking pretty in glory of Vanderbilt silk linens. They never get me, never feel me now. Put it on them anyway, anyone understand the sky. Dogon tribe, seen it like every day. I stare into the garotypes. And looking back, it's a short step up to terabytes. Yeah, I'm still hella nice. Lush life, hella right, thinking of home. I don't remember what I said before they took me alone. I'm gone. It's just a battle for honey, this and for making time. And just to make it mine, I spit the rhymes, heavenly black. Forever rapping, inevitably with elegant rap. Spinning the stacks when the guards come to snatch me up. The black smoke and the four door gon' wrap me up. And if it isn't, the hell vibe gon' clap me up. Taking my time, blue cares for the bed. Plus he waiting to ride. I'm just a born sinner, breadwinner, but time spinner. Sipping bitters while I'm watching the earth spinning. The winner finna turn summer magic. Atticus Finch tragic. If I never write again, I'll be happy I ever had it at the bar. Sipping coke and rum, plus every heart is a broken drum. Puffing on a cigarette to choke my lungs. Hold the sun, see what futures can come in dreams. My team rocks, steady, ever ready, clocking the creep. Plus it seems like it was all so simple. And a wrinkle in time on instrumentals is everything that I've been through. Every time I rap a lot, cannibalize to Camelot. Praying the jam is hot, and everything that expand a lot is lost and gone. Crack era, boom bap era, a trap era. I'm a stack cheddar, rapping forever. Yo, it's lush life, swisher and tears. Sip on a pimp's cup, ready when they tell me to spin. So when my sins up,
is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/tvdudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at tvdudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.